Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network. For it is I, the Midnight Rider, he is the big guy, KG, and in conjunction with Clear Production Sports, we are offering you this edition of a little show that everybody calls Thursday Night Throwdown. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Hey, don't be sorry, man. You live all week for it. That's what we live for. That's what we live for. First and foremost, brother, how you feeling tonight?
Oh, man. I'm good, man. It's just making it day to day, man. I'm glad work is over with. Woo! Got one more day left. And I think there's going to be some sleep to be had this weekend.
It's Friday Eve.
Yes, indeed.
So you know what that means, right?
Go ahead.
When you leave work tomorrow, especially if the weather's gonna be good, you leave work tomorrow, you gotta let the windows down. Oh, and you gotta play Living for the Weekend by the OJs and turn it up real loud.
I like that. But if it's my if I'm doing old school, I'm gonna rock that Blue Magic on the way home.
Which song?
God, I can't think of the song right now off the top of my head.
Okay.
But yeah. Or I'm gonna rock a little Payback as a Dog.
Okay.
Yeah, look, whenever I roll windows down, it gotta be something off the Black Socks and Sandals playlist.
Oh, I got plenty of that.
Yeah.
I used to have a playlist that went from the OJs, Gerald LaVert, a couple other people, and I would clean my whole entire house to it. I had a one-bedroom apartment. I cleaned my whole house to it and just roll. So, I already know what you mean. All right, it's Better's Choice tonight. Where you want to start at? You want to start?
Whatever's number two on your list, let's start there.
All right, number two on my list. Angel Reese declares for the WNBA draft. Kind of sort of knew it was already coming. Her college career, she played 116 games, started 104, averaged 28 and a half minutes, shot 49% from the field, 15% from beyond three, 70% free throw shooter, averaged 18 points, 12 rebounds, almost two assists, 1.6 steals, 1.2 blocks, and 2.3 turnovers. Safe to say she will be top 10. Quite possibly she may be top 5. She may even be top 3. But I called it on Tuesday.
What did you call on Tuesday?
That she was going to declare. Everybody was saying, oh, no, she's coming back. I was like, she's not coming back. She's going to declare. Okay.
And you know what? I mean, I think she said everything that we needed to know about her not coming back in her post press conference. The post game press conference, she talked about it being a tough year. LaJonay had to wipe her eye. Tito, give me a tissue. She was, I knew it was done after that. So glad for her. She's got world at her fingertips. I think she made the announcement via Vogue magazine, if I'm correct.
Yep.
So, I mean, she's already got stuff lined up. This year was probably just a formality, so she could just cash in off of her 15 minutes of fame she gained last year, and now she's going to turn into stardom. Did you hear the whole thing? She got 15 minutes of fame and then turned it into stardom.
I said it on Tuesday. And I seen a mock draft, and I had Caitlin Clark going number one and her going like number eight or nine. Don't matter. That rivalry is going to carry over into the WNBA, and it's going to be a beast. I'm telling you, I'm calling it now. Call your bookie or whoever you do to go through your get your bets. It's going to be a beast. WNBA numbers are going to rise. JoJo says, so glad she's going pro. Mystics. The Miss has got to retool. I'll say that. I knew she was coming out. Not sure why people saying she should stay. A lot of people saying she should stay because of the NIL deals and the amount of money that she was making. But I don't think that should have any weight on her staying.
Yeah, sure. Because I mean, she's probably making a couple of hundred thousand now, or her senior, her junior year, or whatever last year was. I don't want to say junior year. So coming back, she probably could have gotten the same amount of money and not have to go overseas to play. I just think, again, the experience itself was so much that I think she was just ready to go.
Yeah, and then she was saying she was getting death threats. And I see everybody kind of glossed over that when she was saying that she was getting death threats. That was glossed over. JoJo said, yep. The rivalry is what the WNBA needs. It is exactly what it needs. The numbers that the women's tournament is putting up, and then you got a lot of these ladies get ready to go to the next level. Smart marketing. Now you have to, and you got to cultivate it. But you got to take really... Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and make them the face of your league.
Okay, I'll let you say that. I'll stick with that. Because I don't want to say anything else and change. Yeah, all right. I like where you're going with that. Okay.
I mean, matter of fact, you weren't here on Tuesday. Jeez. You weren't here on Tuesday. We held it down without you. And we were talking about marketing.
Oh, I heard the pitch.
Yeah. We were talking about marketing at WNBA. So you have to take what you have to get what you want.
We got to treat all advertising pitches like we treat content. We can't waste it. We can't put it out in the atmosphere. Now somebody come up and take our idea. You know what I'm saying? We can't plant ideas so somebody else can grow trees.
So, bring it on around here. We got some bread.
Oh, rise. Okay. Mm. It's gonna rise up.
It's going in. Mm.
But JoJo says y'all in these NIL deals, I almost hate them now. You can still make the money, the NIL money. James King chiming in. Angel Reese NIL is 1.8 million. And she got a makeup line and some other stuff. She got a but here's the thing. Just because she's out of college doesn't mean the NIL deal kind of stops.
No, that's what now I was saying. I mean, she has the opportunity to market herself and make that money so she doesn't have to stay. So she doesn't have to deal with classes. She doesn't have to deal with being mobbed on campus or whatever. Like, she can kind of go to a normal lifestyle, per se.
And here's the thing. She already got her degree.
All right.
So... She did the number one thing she came to college to do, and that was to get an education and get a degree. She did it. Nothing else mattered. Then you on top of that, the bonus was the national championship. The bonus was the NIL deal. The bonus was the recognition. But you did. She handled the business at hand of coming and getting her education. That was all that was important. That was the most important thing. She took care of that. And JoJo said, "Right, thank you."
So do you think there will be some funneling of talent to certain positions and certain places to maximize this rivalry that you have?
You have to. Here's the thing. This is my belief. It's been like that for almost 30 years. WNBA started in 97. Quick fun fact, who made the first basket in WNBA history?
Probably JaVale McGee's mom.
No, not Pam McGee.
Okay.
Penny Toler.
I knew it was a one-off player. That's why I said JaVale's mama.
Nah, Penny Toler had handles, man. She had handles. I used to love watching her play. I love how she just... She was a 1-2 go point guard. So just bah, bah, and just go. I love watching her play. James King said NIL is boosters from not school. That's true. I mean, speaking of NIL deals, young lady Haley Van Lith has entered the transfer portal yet again. So she's leaving LSU. Finally, what I wanted to say, everybody's getting on Emmanuel Acho about what he said about Angel Reese. And a lot of people say, well, it was taken out of context. No, that's not taken out of context. You compared this young lady to Courage the Cowardly Dog. Oh, you embrace this villain thing, and now all of a sudden you acting like Courage the Cowardly Dog. Choose a better set of words there, bro. Choose a better set of words.
I think the words were chosen for him, because I never saw it, but I see it's made its way, or it's made the rounds. So if it did that, then whoever the producer is at Fox got their money's worth.
I don't care if it was Caitlin Clark. I don't care if it was Sabrina Ionescu. I don't care who it was. Don't ever describe no woman as Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I got you.
Just don't. Now, as men, you know, everybody always talk about he got, you know, so-and-so got that dog in him. So-and-so got that dog in him. You know, and then when you come to Jerry West like, nah, everybody always talking about they got that dog. I didn't have no dog in me. I had that wolf in me because wolves eat dogs. That's why he's the logo. That's why he's the daggone logo. Love that man. I love his mind. But yeah, I just wanted to say that. And James King about the Haley Van Lith thing, he says she needs to go. She got cooked. Yeah.
Well,
Haley they had
her. Well, I think the problem for it's Lindsay, right?
Haley.
I'm sorry. Haley Van Lith. That's what it is. I'm sorry.
Yes, Haley.
She looked out of position, out of place, game one, week one. And when I watched the first game of the tournament, she still looked out of position, out of place, especially against South Carolina in the tournament. I was like, she's not going to stay because she came to, I guess, take some love, and she probably got a nice little paycheck. Let's not cheat ourselves here. I think she went to LSU because she knew she could get more money at LSU than she probably could any staying at Louisville.
Yeah.
So why not get paid? And the unfortunate thing is she had to play point. And I know she's not a point. You can see it all over her face. So she'll go somewhere else, and then she'll get herself back in position to be one of the top players in the country.
James King said Mama looked too big all season.
I would only reason I disagree because I think she's not a point. And when you got somebody playing out of position, it's hard for them to look comfortable, period.
I give you that.
But I mean, I understand where James is coming from, sure.
Sticking with basketball, they've announced a couple of names for the Naismith Hall of Fame for 2024. Not gonna say I'm shocked.
But you're shocked.
I'll have to say I kind of sort of disagree, but personal opinion. My personal opinion does not affect or represent the opinions of the other sideline junkies. So Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups have been named to the Hall of Fame so far, along with New York Knick, former Laker, the one that Chick Hearn named Fall Back Baby. Probably one of the deadliest shots you've ever seen, Dick Barnett. I can understand Dick Barnett. He was vital to the Knicks winning two championships. Chauncey Billups. We're talking first ballot. And he had a solid career. Vince Carter is a head scratcher. Hear me out. half man, half amazing. The second greatest in-game dunker of all time behind Sean Kemp. And he actually tied it too with Dominique Wilkins in-game. Now, dunk contest, Vince called all the way. In-game, nobody put more people on the poster than daggone Sean Kemp. Just going to say that. But over the course of his career,
come on, just say it.
What game stand out that Vince Carter took over and won?
Well, he didn't take over and win, but that game seven against
Milwaukee
when he was
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But after that, what did he do after that?
He's probably got a couple more like that. I think that was just more iconic because it came against Iverson, and we lived and died on every possession in that game.
That was a good playoffs. That year playoffs was good anyway. Now don't get me wrong. I love Vince Carter. Always have been a Vince Carter fan. What really tore me up about Vince Carter, excuse me, was him when he left the Nets. He bounced around from the Nets to the Magic, to the Suns, to the Mavericks, to the Grizzlies, to the Kings, to the Hawks. He never signed with a contender. So from 2009 to 2020, you were just running and jumping. When you still had the skill set.
Well, maybe you didn't want to be a person that hung on or went to teams just to get a championship. Because, you know, we will. If he had gone somewhere like, say, Miami or to L.A. to try to be with Kobe, you know, we would have said he tarnished his legacy because he jumped in with tried to jump in with somebody else and try to create his own thing.
Here's the thing. When you're at that point in your career, when you're no longer – now, once he left Toronto, he was no longer the man. When he went to the Nets, the New Jersey Nets, he wasn't a Brooklyn Net, he was New Jersey Nets. He wasn't the man. That was Jason Kidd's team. Kidd, Richard Jefferson, Kenny Martin.
But you still do a bulk of the scoring.
Yeah.
He ain't scoring for you.
The way he played with the Nets, like he was pretty damn good. But then after that, it's like, oh, Vince Carter.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to be good when you have one of the best passers in NBA history. Because they even talk about that way, like he and Richard Jefferson would race down the court to get the lob, and if he knew Richard had to step on him, he laid back because he knew if they didn't get the break, that Jason Kidd was going to drop it back for the pull up, the trailing jump shot. So yeah,
I heard a story that said the first time they all played together, said that Jason Kidd was just like, he came down and he just tossed the ball. He tossed it from half court and it hit off top of the shot clock. But he still jumped for it. And he was like, I did that because I want to see how high you can jump if you was going to go for it. He's like, I got you. Said they never missed a lob after that.
Totally remember that.
Side note. Who threw a better lob, Jason Kidd or Gary Payton?
I mean, come on. We talking about Jason. And I mean, there's point guards that I can't really have bad things to say about, and Jay Kidd is one of them. Like, yeah.
But GP used to throw it, man. He's come.
I mean, yeah.
But see, it's different because when you're throwing a lob to Richard Jefferson, Vince Carter, Sean Kemp, those dudes don't jump from the floor. They drop them out the rafters like that, and then they just come down and just grab a ball. But I just – later in Vince's career is what I'm trying to say. I didn't see him as Hall of Fame first ballot. Hall of Fame eventually, maybe second ballot, but I didn't see him first ballot Hall of Fame, but he is.
Yeah, I don't get caught up in when he goes in because the key is you go into the Hall of Fame. That's not – the biggest thing of importance for me. It's just And if you get in, you get in. And hopefully, you know, people think you deserve to be there. That's all I think.
Overall, I think
he I know that's a big thing for you.
Yes, because there's a lot of people that deserve to be there. James King says, from 99 to 09, average mid-20s a game. Yeah. And it's like everything, his career average is like 16. And I always used to hate that because I felt that he was so much better than how his career transpired. You know, I felt that he could help a contender because when he went to Orlando, Orlando wasn't a contender. Dallas wasn't a contender. Dallas had just came off a championship. So they had the championship hangover. So they weren't really contenders then. Memphis wasn't contenders. Sacramento, this is the time Sacramento wasn't lighting the beam at all. And Atlanta was just, they were on the cusp, but they weren't coming up.
But then he say something like he went places to try to help teach the young guys like how to play and how to be professionals.
I thought that
was a big part of his late career, like how he ended up in certain places.
Never heard that. But if that's the case,
because I think he was subscribing more to the mentor role.
If that was the case, much
respect. I think that was it.
Much respect to
him. What we got next, man?
Well, before we let's stick with the NBA. Let's stick with basketball, basically. NBA playoffs. It's coming down to it. And, you know, season, what we got? Maybe about a week or so left. At this present point, man, Bulls make the playoffs. Your bottom in the East, Hawks, Bulls, Sixers, Pacers, 7, 8, 9, 10 are in. In the West, you have Warriors, Lakers, Kings, Pelicans.
But the thing with the West is like from 3 to 10 or 4 to 10, it's like a game and a half or 2 games separating everybody. It's not a big margin. I think that's part of the reason why people haven't really been able to clinch certain spots in the playoffs.
And you know, that's kind of crazy. I agree with you. I say that's kind of crazy because the West always seems a lot more stronger than the East a lot of times.
Well, in the West, you got to have a winning record. In the East, you can be, you know, forgive the math here, but you could be something like 38-42 or 38-44, however that math goes, because I don't feel like mathing right now because I've been at work all day.
You can the Bulls and the Hawks right now. The Bulls and the Hawks sitting in the 9-10 spot, they're 36-40.
There you go. I'm right almost there.
Right now, the Celtics are the best team in the league. 60-win team. The Bucks.
Okay.
Like the Celtics are so far, they got a 13-game lead over the Bucks. I have not seen such dominance since the Bulls.
I think it's more so a vision, and then the fact that the Bucks never really recovered from trading Jrue Holiday.
JoJo said, playing is trash. I still hate we reward lose. Hey, everybody got to get a participation trophy there. James King said, not many pros do it after 10, 11 years top notch. That's true. I mean, you got your Kobe's and your LeBron's, but not many do it after 10 years. Uh-oh. Midnight Ride is frozen. But is he frozen or am I frozen? He's frozen. Okay. Had to look on the stream there. All right, we'll get him back in a second. But with these playoffs, I'm just looking at the standings and everything, and it's just, I feel the way JoJo feels. You're rewarding, it used to be the first eight teams, and you battle for that eighth spot. This play-in stuff and in-season tournament, it's like, okay, yeah, but what does it mean? Honestly, what does it mean? The Lakers haven't really performed well since the in-season tournament, and they're the number nine seed. The Warriors are trying to put it together, and it don't seem to quite turn over for them. The Timberwolves have been leading wire to wire out there in the West. The Nuggets are tied with them for the number two spot. It's crazy. I'm at a loss. But one thing I can say in the East, the Knicks, the Magic, the Cavaliers are surprise teams to be playing the way that they are right now. And Cavaliers 3, Magic 4, Knicks 5. They are surprise teams to be playing the way they are. And it's good. It's real good. And I love it. I love to see it. But looking over, Midnight Rider said he lost signal. He'll be back. Looking over in the West, the Warriors are probably the one team that worries me because I don't see them getting out of the play-in. I think the Warriors have lost their shine. So that's just my opinion. I just think they've lost their shine. And the Midnight Rider is back.
Yeah, right? I think the boss man pulled the plug on me because we're getting close to 30 minutes. I think it was a setup.
Well, we'll talk more playoffs come Tuesday. Well, we'll talk championship playoffs. We'll talk more of that once we get closer to it. Last but not least on the list tonight, Diggs traded to Houston. Midnight Rider, give me your thoughts on that real quick and just let it all out. This is a safe space.
What do you mean? I'm comfortable with this. You know, I've been Team Houston since like week four. So I think Houston's in the right spot. I think they're going to use this year with Diggs, try to get the best they can out of them, see if they want to even invest in them, which is a good way to do this, and be able to move on. Houston's been manipulating this whole thing the last two or three years with the move where they had the two first rounders and they got Stroud and they got Anderson. And I think they're going to make another smart move. They already made a smart one moving back with Minnesota. So they're just making moves, and they're being real smart and stealth. And I think they're going to put themselves in a place where their window can last 10, 11 years just because the way they set this up. You got young talent. You got a lot of guys on rookie deals. So what you're going to have to start doing, and I think this is what they're setting up, is they're going to set themselves in place so where they'll have draft picks for the future. And then those draft picks will sometimes will start filtering in and replacing some of the stars they have because you're not going to be able to pay everybody. And I think that's the one thing I like about this Diggs deal is you only pay them 1 year. You get 22.35 or 22.5, and then that's off your books next year. You have no residual money. You have no dead cap. If there's a good free agent out there, you can take that. If not, you get one of these top young receivers because right now we're seeing that with a good quarterback, the receivers don't have to wait long to become impact players.
That is true. And now I'll say this to you. You have been on Houston hard. I think it was before week four, you were talking about them. And I seen a Xavier tuning in from the back of the house. He said Diggs should not have been traded. Your uncle will disagree with that. I'll say that.
I think he ran his course. And I think this was a smart move because I think they knew last year he had enough of a rumbling in the building that, as I always say, sometimes It's addition by subtraction. And I think that's what this is. And now the Bills, I think their first round pick, they can go wide receiver or they can wait until the second and get a wide receiver. And that person becomes their next guy. You got the quarterback. Even with Curtis Samuel and Shaheer and those guys, your quarterback's good enough that he can make it work. And then you just get you a – you got James Cook stepping in as your running back of the future. So, yeah. And this is a perfect spot for them.
JoJo said good move for Houston.
Oh, definitely.
And here's the thing. Somebody put up a video and said Lovie Smith has to get the credit for one of the biggest turnarounds in NFL history. Because when Lovie, it was the end of the season, they playing for draft position, they playing the Colts, they go for it, say, screw it, let's go for it. They beat the Colts 32-31. They wound up getting the number 2 overall pick. Everybody was like, tank for Bryce Young. Carolina got Bryce Young. Bryce Young wasn't the guy. They got CJ Stroud too.
Well, the thing about it, you weren't. If there was a tanking for Bryce Young, then they were crazy, because I never thought Bryce should have been the first pick. I said CJ Stroud from the beginning, and I thought it was because of his makeup. I thought a guy like Tupper, being in the building with a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, seeing a quarterback with an arm and the ideal size as in terms of being 6'4", fitting the prototype, there's no way I go from that to what do you want to call him? Give Bryce Young a nickname. Then Webster, the incredible shrinking quarterback, whatever you want to call him.
The incredible shrinking quarterback.
No, but they said from there, no, let me back up. They said from there, Lovie gets fired. You hired D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans drives C.J. Stroud. He asks C.J. Stroud, which receiver do you want to pick? He picks Tank Dell. They go and pick Tank Dell. He said he got to have him. They pick Tank Dell. They put together a season, and if I'm not mistaken, they went 9-8, made the playoffs. Won a division, made the playoffs. Now you coming into it. You getting Tank Dell back. You got Dalton Schultz. Now you got Stephon Diggs. You got the deep, but on top of that,
you got Joe Mixon.
You drafted the offensive player of the year. I'm sorry, the offensive rookie of the year and a defensive rookie of the year in the same draft.
Right. And that moved us up the year before.
Here's the crazy thing. This is the same, if I'm not mistaken, isn't this the same front office that let Bill O'Brien come in and change everything out?
No. So same ownership, but in terms of the top of the organization, Bill became the GM, I think, almost out of de facto, because they didn't have anybody in the building. And then they cleared way, and in the midst of that, they ended up with Casero. And Casero had the 2 years with Lovie, and I can't think of the black coach's name, the other coach they had for a year each. And then they finally got things together, and that's when they started investing and making smart moves.
Couple comments here. Going back to when we were talking about Haley Van Leith. Nobody can guard Clark. Uh-oh. JoJo said, nobody can guard Clark. Right, man, she was out of place all year long. Xavier says that is going to be an overpowered team with Nico, Tank, and Diggs. Those are overpowered wide receivers. James King chiming in, what we said earlier. They saw they could win without him. Last 9 weeks of the season, Diggs was invisible.
Yep.
Xavier says, is this the same front office that went 1-17?
Whatever they went the year before.
Yeah, number 2.
Yeah.
JoJo said, I'm just nervous Mr. Toxic Diggs gets in CJ Stroud's ear. I don't think he will. And no,
I think he knows he's playing for his career right now. He's playing for his paycheck. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I asked the question about Vince Carter. I asked the same question about Stephon Diggs. Outside of the Minnesota Miracle, what game has he had that he dominated to the point that he, you know, they won because of not in spite of.
Well, I mean, a man gets like, what, 100? I think he had 160 targets. So the ball is, the football is coming to him. He's got the options and opportunities. Offhand, I don't remember a game, but I know he's had some nine catch, 153 yard type of ball games in his, in the, in his career. Probably more than we think, because we kind of gloss over it. You don't trust me, man? I'm just saying.
I do. JoJo says, I hope so. James King said, D. Ryans won't put up with that behavior. Nah, he not. He had no... D'Amico Ryans is the type of coach that, that everybody tells me doesn't exist anymore. The type of coach that holds you accountable, but he'll put his foot in your ass when need be. Xavier said, I think he's going to get ignored in Houston too. It's not being ignored. They force fed him the ball in Buffalo. He dropped right. that pass to win the game last year.
Mm. Well, at least he got to stand and watch the celebration.
3 years in a row.
All right.
So if you can't grade this because draft picks are involved, but if you could grade it off of what you see right now, who's the winner?
No. It's the Deshaun Watson trade. I'm a post. I forgot to corral it earlier today, but it shows Watson in the sixth, and then it lists everything that the Texans got because of that deal and the moves they made and who they got. I'm a post it in the Sideline Junkies Facebook page. So okay. I'll have that, and then I'll also try to post it on the Instagram, or I'll send it to you, and then you just post it on Instagram.
Speaking of Instagram, the big dog over Instagram said, why do you keep disappearing? I don't know if he's talking about me or you, but
I think it's talking about me, because I somehow the last week or two, like, the signal has been weird, and I've dropped a couple times. Even when I was with the big dog and them on Sunday, that show, the connection was bad when I tried to use my computer. So I don't know what's going on.
Over on Instagram, Sports Den Washington, the Buffalo Minnesota shootout of 2022. Yeah, that was a big game. Diggs had the big catch, and he usually carries the offense to the end zone. Yeah, that I do remember that. Xavier says he had that one catch before Justin Jefferson. The Minnesota Miracle. Jesus.
Before that one, the one against Justin Jefferson.
That was the shootout in 2022.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he trash. Allen got better than once. Got better once Diggs arrived.
You already know my thought on that. If you get your quarterback a number one receiver, his numbers will get better dramatically because he has that person to depend on. When you keep putting a guy, Justin Fields out there with Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike, then you got problems. And that's what they've had all this whole stretch. No, because I think that gives them too much of a weapon.
We got one for you. Hold on. You got to see this. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Fresh. All right. If you get a call, I'm outside. You know what's up.
Okay. I got you covered.
Smell good, too. Just rub some butter on it and bring it here.
Okay.
Just rub some butter on it and bring it here.
A little nervous to ask what you're talking about, buddy.
How are you going to cut that? Okay, whatever you got to do. I'll put some butter on it, and that'll be done. Look, I'm about to go in the kitchen, make me some daggone gravy, make me a couple gravy sandwiches, and it's over. Oh, man. Oh. So to keep it in line, final thoughts. because we got to wrap this ish up, B. What you got?
I don't know what's going on. They're two big pitching prospects, or they're big guys, I should say. Josiah Gray and King Gore got off to tough starts. It looks like Jesse Winker, their hitter. He might have regained his form from when he was in Cincinnati. He's had some big hits. Got to give a shout out to Michael A. Taylor for coming back and just having a week. He's somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 or 8 for like 15 in this series. He's had some big clutch moments and some big clutch RBI. Of course, the Nats lost today. I just think they're in a position now that two of the guys that were supposed to be the last two to get on the team that they had to send down, now they're back up because of injury. We've seen the last of Robles in Washington. Because if Jacob Young can come in and kick that door down, you're not going back to Robles. You want to cut your losses. That's it.
I'm going to say this. It's the most wonderful time of the year. We got Men and Women Final Four. It's WrestleMania weekend. Speaking of which, the WrestleManiacs will be live after night one and night two with a react show to each night. And hopefully we'll be crowning a new picks champion. So that will come Saturday night after WrestleMania night one, and then again Sunday night after WrestleMania night two. So be on the lookout and ready for that. Last but not least, I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything. If you haven't already, join our Sideline Junkies Facebook group, Sideline Junkies 24/7. Get in there, get some good conversation going on with the ladies and the gentlemen, and rock it. Make sure you like, subscribe, and all that good jazz on every part of social media so you don't miss anything. You don't miss a show. You don't miss anything. I think that's about it. Midnight Ride.
All right. Let's call it a night.
Well, so you'll see this face on Saturday night / Sunday morning, probably, depending on what time night one ends. You might see this guy, too. We can get him to stay up. He ain't staying up. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. But I'm the big guy, KG. That's the Midnight Rider. We don't do no overtime. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are out of here.